Well, good morning and welcome everybody to our special service here on Pentecost Sunday. And as you can see this morning, I've had a special treat come into All Saints Church to record this service. Last week we remembered the disciples waiting in that upper room, waiting as Jesus had instructed and devoted to prayer, praying, "Come, Holy Spirit." And today we remember the day in which the Holy Spirit first was poured out on all believers. And we come afresh to be open to a new filling of the Holy Spirit this morning. A warm welcome to each and every one of you, particularly if you are watching for the first time. It's really great to have you with us. And I do encourage you to join in with the worship, to join in with the songs, and to be open to what God wants to do in each of us this morning. So let's first say the opening words on page 21. The Lord be with you and also with you. And we come and sing our first hymn, "Come Down, O Love Divine." It speaks of the Holy Spirit coming down, the love of God coming down into our hearts. Hymn number 89. And so as we continue on page 21, let's say the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us now confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And in a moment of quiet, let's first come before God and confess anything that we wish to before him in our own hearts. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a special prayer for today on Pentecost Sunday. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Sean now is going to come and bring our reading to us.
Hello. Our reading today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited, because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism. And some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Peter's going to share in a moment some thoughts on those verses. But first of all, I'd like to show a video of a short interview that I had with Denise Ditchburn, a member of All Saints and our CAP Debt Centre coach here in Malvern. And I asked Denise in the course of her daily life, what does it mean for you to be empowered and helped by the Holy Spirit? And this is her reply.
To be honest, I don't know how I could do it without the Holy Spirit, which sounds a bit of a strange thing. In my natural, I can. I'm a people person. I have empathy, and I can do that quite naturally. But because of the responsibility I feel towards my clients and the care, that's not enough. And I found that just daily, you know, whenever I'm about to sort of meet them, or I know I've got a new client, it forces me to start praying and saying, you know, Lord, help, you know, how can I help the relationship build in a positive way? One of the other things that I find is I get like little sort of nudges, or Holy Spirit nudges, I would call them. They don't feel particularly spiritual, but they're like the Holy Spirit nudging me to give my client a call, or give them a text and see how they're getting on. And often they've found that really sort of supportive and encouraging. And there was a situation with one of my clients who I tried to message her a couple of times and tried to call and not heard anything. So I thought I would just pop over and see her. And this was before the lockdown. And as I got to the door, I heard her almost crying in pain. And I thought, gosh. So I knocked on the door and said who I was. And she said, oh, Denise, come in. The door's open. So I went in, and she was in, bless her, in excruciating pain. And I was able to call the paramedics and wait with her while they came out. And it was, she said afterwards that, you know, she didn't have the energy or the ability to call anyone. And she felt like it was God looking after her, which, you know, I felt grateful that you know, it's so easy to ignore those little nudges. But I felt really grateful that I didn't that day. Because so much of the CAP work is, you know, obviously around financial conduct authority and meeting, you know, working within legislation, and it you realise, you know, there's a sense of real responsibility to help our clients find the best route through. And obviously my role is partly just to make them feel as comfortable enough and to facilitate that, and then obviously head office do the main sort of getting them debt free. But if I don't get it right at the beginning, potentially they don't carry on. And so I, you know, just really relying on the Holy Spirit to help me see things, hear what they're saying, even noticing if they have other issues that might they might have that are practical and nothing to do with their debt. And obviously with the blessings team, we've been able to support and bless many families and individuals through the CAP process beyond the debt, you know. So again, it's like a nudging, it's hearing. I honestly don't feel I could do the work without being able to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, help, give me wisdom, give me discernment, sometimes give me energy, you know, if I'm feeling tired and weary and then wanting to still give my best, being able to say, Holy Spirit, give me, you know, your kindness in this situation, give me your mercy, give me your love, all of those things empower me to do what I need to do.
Hello everybody, and great to be with you. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, may you be in my words this morning, and may we be stirred and empowered afresh by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Well, many of you will know that we as a family have a black Labrador called Archie. You may see a picture of him there. He's not quite two, and he's our first dog as a family. So we have been learning much over the last 2 years. But Archie has completely disrupted our lives. And that's because we've never had a dog before. And Archie needs constant attention and he follows us around. And there are all sorts of ways in which he's disrupted our lives. And we have to constantly think about him in our family plans. In fact, he's disrupting our lives such that I was up at 3 o'clock this morning because he was barking, because he actually turned out he had an upset tummy and he needed to be let out into the garden. So Archie has completely disrupted our lives. And sometimes that has been positive, and sometimes, quite frankly, I've been left on my knees wondering why on earth we've got a dog. But there have been so many good things as well. He's produced so much joy for us as a family, and it's a real treasure to watch particularly the children interact. And I've enjoyed all the walks and the time that we spend together. But he has certainly been a disruption. Disruption, disturbance, upheaval, confusion, change, destruction, alteration, reorganization, recreation. I wonder what those words stir in you. They're words of movement, they're words of change, they're words that are dynamic, and they generate all sorts of feelings within us. Some of us will be filled with absolute dread and perhaps even exhaustion just thinking and saying some of those words. Some of those words will really excite us. It seems to me, as I look at the big story of the Bible, that throughout the Bible story, it's the times of disruption and upheaval and sometimes destruction that those are the times where the kingdom of God and God's plans are advanced. Let me give you a few examples. Think of Noah and the flood, complete destruction to restart God's creation. Think of all the chaos over the Exodus with the plagues and the journey out of Egypt. Think of the many times in which the nation of Israel turned away from God, may have even been cast out into exile, but returned to him at some point. And think of the birth of Jesus. Well, any parent, and particularly you mothers out there, will know the disruption there is in your life when you have a baby and you welcome a new life into your family. In that time of disruption of having a baby, there's all sorts of change, discomfort, invasion and pain. But also there's enormous joy and unbelievable change and joy of having a child. The nature of disruption can be both good and difficult. And we've also seen throughout history, haven't we, that when Christians are persecuted, the church seems to rediscover itself and grow and flourish. Think of your own faith journey. Think of those times when your faith has grown and matured. It will often have been in those difficult and disruptive times. I know for myself, I have so many examples of when life has been disrupted. One occasion when I went for a job interview, there was no plan B, there was only plan A. There was great expectation of getting this job, and it didn't happen. And for a time, my world felt as if it had fallen apart. But it was at that moment that I pressed in and pursued and discovered new levels of trust in God. It seems to me that God's kingdom and God's plans are advanced through times of disruption. And today is Pentecost Sunday. That is what we're celebrating. And in the reading this morning, we again hear of another act of disruption by God. It was just an ordinary day. And then, boom, God turned up and turned things upside down. In that gospel reading, we heard about the sound of a violent wind. Something like tongues of fire came. The place was filled with the Holy Spirit, and people began to speak in new and strange tongues. Can you imagine the noise and the chaos and the disruption and the bewilderment? The scripture talked about it was so chaotic, a crowd gathered who were bewildered and utterly amazed, perplexed even, and some even mocked. But critically, that crowd went on to ask, what does this mean? People started their ordinary day in their ordinary lives, and then God turned up and turned everything upside down. We worship a God of disruption. We worship a God who disrupts. We worship a God who loves to turn things upside down to advance his kingdom. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying whatsoever that all disruption in our lives comes from God. Absolutely not. And I don't believe that the coronavirus is from God. But whether God causes the disruption in our lives or whether he doesn't, I do believe that God is right in the midst of it with us. So what? We're in a time right now of great disruption. I don't need to share that. And that disruption will have affected us in all sorts of different ways. Each of our stories, each of our circumstances are very different. But we will all have been disturbed and disrupted. And so my question this morning to you and to me is, if God uses time of disruption to advance his purposes for you and for me and for his kingdom, what is he doing in you? How are you growing in this time? How is the kingdom of God and his plans for you being shaped through the present disruption? Are we asking, like the crowds on that first Pentecost, what does this mean? On that first Pentecost, God birthed the church. What is he birthing in you? What is he birthing in us as a church community? What is he birthing in your family? What is he birthing amongst us here in Malvern? The challenge for us is, are we asking that question? And are we seeking out what God is doing? Now, disruption is generally pretty uncomfortable. Generally, it means unseating us from our comfortable place where we've settled in and we're nice and cozy. Now, settling in can be a good thing, and there can be good seasons of settling. I love settling just as much as everyone else. But there are times to settle, and the Old Testament tests of that. But it also, the Old Testament, testifies that we can become too settled. And that can lead to complacency. It can lead to us focusing on ourselves and our own comfort and our own worlds. And we lose our edge and we lose our focus on God. It becomes about us and not God. Now imagine that first Pentecost again. The disruption changed fearful and uneducated fishermen into pillars of extraordinary faith who took the good news of Jesus Christ across the known world and were prepared to die, often hideous deaths, for that good news. So where have we become too settled in our lives? Where have we settled in our journeys of faith? I'm not making a judgment on any of our particular circumstances or our own particular experiences of disruption in the season, this coronavirus season. But I do believe we should be asking the question, what do you want us to, how do you want us to change? How do you want us to grow? How can we be changed from, like those disciples, from fearful, uneducated men into pillars of faith in our community, in our families and in our workplaces? As lockdown eases, the risk is that we will drift back into old patterns of behaviour and thinking and lifestyles. Do we want to return to the old normal and ignore the possibilities that God is offering us? Or do we want to discern what God is doing in your life, in my life, in the life of us as a church community, in the life of our workplaces, in the life of our town? Where is God taking us into new and uncharted waters? It's one of those things I've been asking for myself. And there are small things already. There are things about my daily routine, my pace of life, my awareness of the world around me, the care of the environment, the use of my car. Those are things I don't want to lose. And there are many other questions that I've been able to also ask in this time, because quite frankly, there's been space at times. What about you? Where do we need to ask questions? But we don't do this alone. Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit before the going out into the world to share the good news. They couldn't do their mission without the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus himself couldn't fulfill his mission without the Holy Spirit. And we read in Luke's Gospel that he was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. He returned from the desert in the power of the Spirit, and he was anointed by the Spirit to do the work set out before him. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if the disciples need the Holy Spirit, I think that's a fair indicator that we also need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that teaches us, who comforts us, who guides us and empowers us and anoints us in the call upon our own individual lives. We need the Spirit, and the Spirit is there to embolden and lead us into those uncharted waters if we dare to invite him. This week, as most of you will know, we've been praying, Thy Kingdom Come. And the core of many of my prayers for the people that I've been praying has been that those who don't yet know the love of Jesus will be disrupted by God during this season. And by being disrupted, they will come to know the Lord. Will we allow ourselves to be disrupted? Will we allow ourselves to be changed in this season? Will we ask those challenging questions and find out what the Lord is doing? I wonder what he is doing in your life at this time. Let me summarise a few of those points in there. Our God is a God who disrupts, and through disruption, God advances his kingdom and his purposes. Will you allow God to advance his purposes in your life? The disruption in our lives is not always from God, absolutely not. But God is with us always within those times of disruption. And through his Holy Spirit will lead us, comfort us, teach us and grow us. And are we going to choose to respond to the disruption we're experiencing at this time? Will we take this opportunity to grow? Hard questions. And you might want to share those questions as a family or in your life group or in your prayer partners. Why don't you ask those questions and help discern what it is that God is doing and disrupting and wanting to see change in your life? Let's for a moment go into silence and reflect, and I will pray for us. We're going to have a moment to ask the Lord, where's perhaps one thing in your life at the moment that you recognise where God has been stirring, disrupting, perhaps making you uncomfortable, and that perhaps he wants to reveal something to you about how you move forward in your faith. So let's close our eyes. Perhaps you'd like to open up your hands as a sign and an act of openness to what the Spirit might do. Are you prepared? Am I prepared to surrender my life to Jesus once again? Lord, reveal to each of us where we need to be disrupted. Where are you working in our lives? Help us to embrace disruption, which is often uncomfortable. Heavenly Father, help us to surrender our lives. Lord, have your way with us. And on this Pentecost Sunday, re-empower us afresh. Teach us afresh and anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings on you all this day, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
And as we come to reflect on those words, we're going to sing again, or have the chance, if you prefer, just to listen and pray as we sing Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. And as we do, it's a chance to be open to pray again for the Holy Spirit to come and fall afresh on each one of us, that we might know God better, that we might be comforted, that we might be empowered and sent out to do all that he has called us to do. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. and we join in with the words of the Affirmation of Faith on page 24. We say together in faith, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. And we believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And Patience is going to continue to lead us in prayer.
Good morning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Let us now unite in prayer, as the disciples did on that first Pentecost, and open ourselves to receive the very same Holy Spirit. Lord, we bring before you our wider world. The current health crisis has buried the detail of the many dangerous and unstable countries where those you love face an unending struggle. We ask for your vision and energy for all those who are tiring in the battle against oppression and injustice and are exhausted by the struggle with poverty and hunger. We bring before you the homeless and the refugees, particularly those unaccompanied children who make the dangerous crossing of the English Channel and arrive on our beaches with nothing. May they be brought to secure homes and loving guardians. Remember the rough sleepers in our towns and cities who, although they've been given temporary accommodation, still face uncertain futures with complex health problems. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for our government. The path out of lockdown is a difficult one, fraught with anxiety and uncertainty. Give wisdom to all those in authority. We continue to bring before you the medical services and scientists working so hard to find a cure for the virus and to save the lives of those who continue to suffer. Bless and preserve the general public, giving us all the patience and resilience to continue to keep the advice we are given. We bring before you all those who are tentatively opening up their businesses again. Give them belief and trust in you to put their lives back together again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Church, that at this time we may be renewed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and reach out to one another as true disciples with faith, love and hope. We thank you for the many gifts of those creating our services at this time and for our website that has done so much to bring our church community into our homes. We pray for Dave and for Peter and all those who minister unto us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This coming week, some of our children will be returning to school. We ask for your blessing and protection on them and on their teachers, many of whom are deeply anxious for the safety of everyone concerned. While some children are in class, others still have to continue with homeschooling, which is hugely challenging. we bring before you all those children whose homes are unstable and challenging, and where education may not be happening at all. We remember before you the thousands of carers who look after the sick and elderly in their own homes. May they be recognised for the amazing devoted service that they offer to the weakest in our society. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit, we pray for all those who have died for whatever reason during this pandemic, and especially for all those left behind whose lives are darkened by sorrow and mourning. In particular, we pray for those in our own community, for Rod Simmons and for David Barr Hamilton, and we give thanks for their precious lives. Let us pray for all who are sick in body, mind and spirit, that they may be aware that the Lord is with them in their troubles. We ask for your blessing on our families and friends near and far, and for all those we love. Let us take a moment to pray for all those who are known only unto us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we give thanks for the gifts of the Holy Spirit at this Pentecost. Help us to use all your gifts wisely as true witnesses to your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And as we come to share communion, we come to, first of all, share the peace together. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. And if you've got people that you're watching with, do share the peace with them. If you're on your own, then pray for God's peace for a friend or two that you know who needs that particularly today. And so we begin on page 32. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. And he opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and resurrection and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, and we lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue might tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And I want to encourage you to really dwell on those words that we've just said there. Just as the first disciples were sent out to tell others of Jesus on that first Pentecost, we too are sent out in the power of the Spirit to live and work for all that God has in store for us. And whether you're still stuck at home or whether you're getting out a bit more these days, I want to encourage you to be open to the presence and the power of the Spirit. Maybe pray each morning, Holy Spirit, will you show me someone I can share something of you with? Maybe an encouragement, maybe a prayer, maybe a word for them. And just be open to the Spirit directing you and empowering you in these days. And let's sing our final hymn, shall we? Number 488, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O Breath of Life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. What a great prayer. Number 488, O Breath of Life.
Thank you.
So before we say the final blessing, I just want to continue to send our love to everybody. We continue to miss gathering together and miss seeing you so much. But you are much in our prayers, and do continue to be in touch with us and in touch with each other. And thank you for caring for each other and caring for others in our community at this time. And so a final blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. God bless, and do join us next week.